Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, a weekly public affairs program that introduces you to the work, lives, and lifestyles in Bedford County. Today's program over News Talk 1310 WBFD is hosted by Lloyd Roach. Bedford County Speaks is heard every Saturday at this time. Now let's join Lloyd for this week's discussion on Bedford County Speaks.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you. Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the weekly public affairs program over News Talk 1310 WBFD. Today's program is brought to you as a public service by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, right here on Route 220 in Bedford. That's Thomas, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. I'll return in a moment with today's guest, Mayor Bill Liebfried, when Bedford County Speaks continues.
Sometime back, they did a survey and they found that lots of people who lived within a few miles of the Liberty Bell or the Statue of Liberty never visited either place. That happens around here, too. Just after the start of the French and Indian War, Bedford County became the gateway to the West with the opening of the Forbes Road, which we now call Route 30. In 1794, President George Washington had to come here to quell the Whiskey Rebellion. By 1913, the first transcontinental road for motor cars, the Lincoln Highway, was dedicated here, and the legendary Bedford Springs Resort still welcomes people from all over the world. With this kind of legacy, why keep it a secret? Spread the word about Bedford County, the history, the charm, and the regal Alleghenies. Bedford County, America's open door to the West.
This is probably going to end up being elected official month because we have with us the mayor of Bedford, Mayor Bill Liebfried, and next week, hopefully, we're going to have the lieutenant governor of Pennsylvania. So, Bill, you're in good company. I know he's a Democrat, but it's a good company nevertheless. And I always like to give a plug to the people. We're in Landmarks Restaurant, and everybody that invites us to places like this, I always want to give them a plug because they're very nice to give us some coffee and a nice warm place to sit. We don't have to sit outside in the rain. It's kind of nice. So, Bill, thank you so much. It's great to see you. It really is.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
I wanted to learn a little bit about what it's like to be a small town mayor. I think everybody has heard about the big mayors, you know, the Mayor Daley's and the Mayor Rizzo's and the mayor, whoever they are. But oftentimes we don't hear what it's like to run a borough, small town. I want to learn a bit about that. But first, I want to learn a bit about you. Are you a Bedford native? Have you been here all your life?
Well, I was born in Johnstown and moved to Philadelphia when I was 4, came to Bedford when I was 12, but my family always had a home here in Bedford. So I spent every weekend, every summer, every holiday in Bedford. So I look at myself as a native.
What did your family do here?
My father had a shoe store right beside the Pitt Theater called Wilmar Shoe Store, named after me, William, and my brother Mark, called it Wilmar. And he operated that with my mom for several years.
Boy, that is great. That's a great story. I didn't know that. A lot of people probably didn't know that.
Well, it's been some time ago.
Was it a general shoe store? Or was it
special stuff? Yeah, it was back in the day. They had men and women's shoes, and that's how they made a living.
When I was a kid, you used to walk into shoe stores and had like a little radar thing that would look through your feet. Did he have one of those?
They didn't have that. They did have a merry-go-round in there.
I see. Okay, good. That's some of the days that have gone by. I've seen old pictures of Bedford downtown, and I was talking to the mayor just before we went on the air here today, and I was talking about how nice a town that Bedford is, and it's good to see you still have a great downtown like that. So you became obviously an adult, and you left Bedford. Where'd you go?
Well, I went to college at West Virginia University, where I met my wife. While I was a senior there, the Upjohn Company, a pharmaceutical company, hired me. And my first assignment was in Pottsville, Pennsylvania. And I moved back to Bedford. It was an either-or thing. Either they moved me back to Bedford or I quit, one or the other.
I see.
So I did come back to Bedford, and I was here for 35 years with the Upjohn Company.
So you operate out of Bedford, but obviously you call in people somewhere else.
Well, I first started out in general sales, which I had Altoona and Bedford and Everett and Huntington, those places, calling on doctors. Right. Mm-hmm. Then got into management and eventually did the managed care work for Upjohn in the Northeast. So that was kind of my career with the Upjohn Company.
You know, with all this discussion about health insurance today and health care in general, You've probably seen a lot, haven't you? I mean, this has really materially changed, hasn't it?
Well, sure has. It used to be the day of the doctor had a single office. His wife was his nurse and secretary. Now they're all in group practices. They all belong to some sort of managed care panel. And money is the name of the game.
So it's really the money that changed the practice of medicine.
Well, it is money, yeah, because, as you know, healthcare is going higher and higher and higher. But managed care also involves itself with the quality of medicine, too, because they use best practices. So it's actually a good thing.
Yeah, because I think those of us who are old enough may remember going to see, you know, old Dr. Smith or something, and he had a mirror on his head, you know, in a small office, and he was kind of the entire health care universe for you. Now you see many people. And that's what I meant when I think that's the part that's changed big time.
Well, that's right. Yeah. I can remember the doctors I called on here in Bedford, and I'm sure some people remember Dr. Eiler and Dr. May and Dr. Griffith and Dr. Palin.
Right.
Now they're all in groups now, so that's the big change.
And how did the sale of these pharmaceuticals work with these guys? Did they actually buy them, or how did it work? I mean,
well, no, my job was to go in and present information, new information, hopefully, about why they should be using our products. And then if they bought into that, they would write a prescription, the patient would take it to the pharmacy and have it filled, and we would sell the pharmacy the
right.
products.
So the doctor in this case would write a prescription, forgive me, I know nothing about this, but and say, please give this patient literally XYZ, that kind of thing? Or,
no,
or did it have a name of some kind?
Yeah, we had trade names. For example, the Upjohn Company was instrumental with Motrin. I'm sure people are aware of Motrin. So you would talk about arthritis, rheumatoid and osteoarthritis, talk about the anti-inflammatory effect of the drug. And if the doctor kind of agreed with you, then he would write a prescription for Motrin. And you would take it to one of the local pharmacies at that time. I think there were three of them in town at that time, and you would get it filled.
So if the doctor writes Motrin, the pharmacy knows it's your sale, if you will. That's what I was trying to get.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, well, yeah, because all the drug companies had pharmaceutical representatives out there doing the same thing I did.
Gotcha, I see.
Right, so they each had an account with each individual pharmaceutical company. So as they needed the drug, they would order it.
So there were two crews, or maybe more crews. There was your outfit, and then some at the pharmacy level, and then God knows who, the hospital pharmacy, I guess, those folks as well. Did you call in hospitals as well?
Well, that was one of the next steps. You would be in general sales, and you would go to a teaching institution like University of Pittsburgh or West Virginia or Hershey. And that was one of the steps with it, yes.
Interesting. I've just never talked to anybody who did that before, so that's why I was asking. I think one of the things we enjoy about this radio program is you learn about things that we've never heard of before. And our guest today is Mayor Bill Liebfried. Bill is the mayor of the borough of Bedford. And I'm going to ask you a little civics lesson for the benefit of anyone listening to this. Can you explain to us city, borough, township? How does that work?
Well, they're all municipalities. Bedford Borough, for example, is defined by boundaries. I guess you would you call it. And it was laid out, I think, in 1766.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I graduated from Bedford High School in 1966, to give you a time frame. And then the township surrounds Bedford Borough. That's the difference. I can't tell you whether there's a number of people required for a town or a township. I don't know that.
Our guest is Mayor Bill Liebfried, and we're going to kind of swing into his job here that he has, which I know has paid you big bucks for many years, being the mayor.
Well, let's talk about that.
The big bucks?
Let's talk about the big bucks. I get paid $700 per year. And I get a monthly check with taxes and everything taken out.
Typical overpaid politician.
Yes, absolutely. And the council that I work with do it from the goodness of their heart.
I say for free.
For free.
What a good deal. Gee, what is that? That's kind of a little Christmas present every year. Yeah, that's
sure.
super. I know that being the mayor of this class of borough is a little different. A lot of people think that you're in charge of everything, and I'm sure in your mind you probably are.
No, sir, I don't.
But
think
what
that.
What is the role of the mayor in this particular borough?
Well, let's go back in history a little bit. Yeah. When the town was first laid out, you have to remember we were under rule at that point in time, and the King of England would appoint a burgess who would live in Bedford, and that individual was extremely powerful. He settled lawsuits, he settled property disputes, he did basically everything. And if you go in front of the courthouse, across the street, there's the Russell House, and he was the first burgess of the borough of Bedford. And then, of course, there was a revolution. We separated from England. And the last thing that the people of this country wanted was English rule or anything that reminded them of it. So they made the borough of Bedford, the mayor of borough of Bedford, a weak mayor position. In other words, I don't have any vote on council. The only thing that I really do are break ties on council. I run the police department. And when I say run the police department, I sort of manage it. Chief Ziegler actually runs it. Mm-hmm. And I have the bully pulpit. If I have something to say at a council meeting or at a council workshop, I will do that. But it's a weak system, and that's what it is.
So in this position, it seems to me you're also the PR front man for Bedford, are you not?
That's right. I try to give Bedford Council a vision of what I see the town becoming. And we work with DBI and other organizations to present a good front. And, yes, I'm the spokesperson for the town. That's correct.
I want to remind you today that you're listening to Bedford County Speaks. My name is Lloyd Roach, and today's program is brought to you in part by the Bedford County Chamber of Commerce, who proudly supports and celebrates the business community of the Bedford County region. To learn more, visit them online at bedfordcountychamber.com. Speaking of government, I happen to be on the Government Affairs Committee of the Bedford County Chamber of Commerce, and Kelly's a killer. She's just great.
Oh, yeah.
She beats us, man. She just works us to death. I'll tell you, I don't make any money either.
Kelly's a good person.
It's really great. Also, I want to remind you today that Valentine's is a special time, and this year you have an opportunity to give Valentine a gift you will remember for years. Right here in Bedford, the Omni Bedford Springs has an evening that is specially designed for you. Give your sweetheart the kind of feeling people write novels about. For an astonishing low price of $199 per couple, here's what you get. You enjoy a prefix four-course dinner in the spectacular Crystal Room, a bottle of red or white wine, that would probably appeal to the mayor, I would guess, and a luxurious overnight accommodation at the best resort anywhere. So call now for this one-time offer, available only on Valentine's Day. You can visit omnihotels.com/Bedford or give them a call. That's easier. Give them a call at 623-8100. That's 623-8100 for the best Valentine ever at the fabulous Omni Bedford Springs Resort and Spa. And if you wouldn't mind, when you go in or give them a call, let them know you heard it here on Bedford County Speaks, because I think they give me a free donut if they do that. We're going to return in a moment with the mayor to learn what is going on in the borough of Bedford. There is a lot, especially in the upcoming year, when Bedford County Speaks continues.
Hello, I'm Mark Thomas. Perhaps while driving around Bedford County lately, you may have noticed our current outdoor billboards. Stephanie March, general manager of Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, knows better than anyone about our mission of total satisfaction. When we talk about our 7 ways to save, we mean not only are we saving you money, but also saving you some time and aggravation. Our attention to complete satisfaction makes sure you're happy with our vehicles and service, which keeps us happy to have a loyal customer. Our 7 ways to save is a process to ensure you have complete information to make the decision that's best for you when you purchase a car or truck. We encourage you to visit Thomas Chevrolet Subaru right here in Bedford and see for yourself why our goal is your complete satisfaction. Visit us on Business Route 220 north of Bedford or visit us 24/7 online at thomaschevrolet.com.
This is Jesse Topper, State Representative in the 78th Legislative District, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks over News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Now, let's head back to today's Bedford County Speaks.
We have returned to the landmark restaurant in beautiful Bedford. Actually, this isn't beautiful downtown Bedford either. It's actually beautiful Bedford Township.
That's right.
Yeah, so we're just kind of over the line here. I see little signs that say original marker of Bedford Borough, but apparently they're not anymore. Some of them I've seen.
Well, the Borough, Lloyd, is about 1 square mile, which defines the borough itself. Within that square mile, we have a historical area, a designated historical area. And a lot of people get confused on which is which. If, for example, you own property in the historical area and you want to do something to the outside of the property, you have to take your application to the Historical Area Review Board. And what they do, they'll approve it or disapprove it depending on what it looks like. And in my opinion, I live in a historical area, and in my opinion, that helps my property value.
Sure.
It doesn't allow somebody to paint their house flamingo pink or something like that. And they're very easy to work with. In fact, I think your wife's on that board.
She is. In fact, she served on a HARB in our former residence in Birmingham Township, Chester County, for, I don't know, 10, 15 years. So she enjoys that very much. And I think HARBs are good, too. And one of the reasons, I think, is when we drove into Bedford and saw this beautiful town, one of the reasons it was beautiful is because of the kind of controls you do with this.
So when people come to Bedford, they come to the Springs or they come to Old Bedford Village, and they end up in downtown Bedford, I'll make myself known to them, and I'll say, why are you here? I mean, what is it that attracts you here? And the first thing they say is the architecture. They like the brick buildings. They like how the town looks. It reminds them of yesteryear. I mean, the town is absolutely a gorgeous town. Now, DBI has done a lot to help it with the streetscape, you know, putting the brick sidewalks in and the brick curbings and the street lights, things like that. We've tried to do things to make Bedford attractive. So,
well, but not only that, there is something else going on here. When I retired, people asked me, where did you move? And I said, I moved to 1965. And I meant that truly in a positive way. Bedford not only has a nice look to it, but the people here reflect an attitude that you don't see anymore. Do you think that's correct? Do you feel that? Do you hear that?
Well, I can give you a personal experience.
Right.
And this is kind of a bittersweet experience. My son was involved in a near-fatal automobile accident about a couple months ago, Joshua. And I could not believe the outpouring of well wishes and people offering to help mow his lawn or to go grocery shopping for him. I just couldn't believe it. It was totally overwhelming. I don't think you see that in other places. I'm pretty sure you don't see that in a city. My kids grew up here in Bedford, and I knew when they were outside the house, I didn't have to worry about it because somebody would tell me if they were screwing up. There was no doubt about it. The teachers were like parents. It's just a fantastic town. I can't say enough about it.
Special.
It is a great place, and we are trying to do things to make it better. For example, we built a trail from the Bedford Springs to downtown Bedford. Why did we do this?
Right.
Well, for the obvious reason was recreation. But there's a deeper reason for that. One of my goals for Bedford is to get as many people on the downtown streets as I possibly can. I call it feet on the street. I want people going into the little shops, to the gift shops, the coffee shops, the restaurants, the bars, the clothing stores, and I want our businesses to be as viable as possible. I mean, you can really tell the health of a town by looking at the downtown. If the downtown is vibrant, the town's healthy. We talked about my previous job, and I used to go into a lot of little towns that were depressed and empty stores and people were moving out. It was not a pleasant place. Bedford is the opposite of that. So that's what we're trying to do. So we built this trail because I look at the Bedford Springs as being a non-residential population center. So my idea was, how do I get those people from the Omni Bedford Springs to downtown Bedford? Well, obviously one of the ways is signage, but another way was a trail. So what we did, there was an old authority available between Bedford Township and Bedford Borough. Years ago, when we had a drought, they were looking for water, so they created this authority, and they never did find what they wanted, but the authority existed. So we reenacted the authority with Bedford Township and Bedford Borough. We populated it with people that were interested in the trail, and they built the trail from the Bedford Springs to downtown. And the whole time it was being built, because it was expensive, I'm not going to lie to you, people say nobody will use it, it's just a waste of money, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I walk a lot. I walk every day, and I'm on the trail a lot, and I see every day there's a lot of people on that trail, and everybody comments about how great it is. When I'm on the trail, Lloyd, if I see somebody from the Springs, I can pretty much recognize they're not local.
Right.
I'll say, where are you going? What are you doing? Well, I'm going downtown, you know, and on the way back, they bought a gift, or they bought some candy from Bedford Care. They stopped at Hebrews for a coffee, or they stopped at the pub, or whatever they did. And so that's important. And what we're going to do now is extend a trail northward to Friendship Village and Old Bedford Village. Again, a population center, and the idea is, how do I get those people downtown? So we're going to do the same thing, and I hope that's done within the next 3, 4, 5 years.
Trails are really hot right now. A lot of communities have them, but very few have been successful in building the one you've talked about. I don't walk a lot, but I've been on that trail, and I've been on that trail several times. It's fabulous.
Sure.
And it's actually very good aerobically, because you've got a nice hill to climb up and so forth.
Yeah.
And it is. I mean, a lot of trails, you know, it's kind of go along a level place. It's nice. It's sunny day and so forth. But you can get a workout on that trail if you want. And it's a great. And what a destination. Imagine your trail walking into one of the world-class resorts of the United States, you know, just going to the end there. Like,
well,
that.
Sure. And you and I talked about a little history. And you know, the Springs started about 1800.
Right.
And it started because of its springs and the medicinal value of the property, and there's a lot of history out there. It was James Buchanan's summer White House. The first transatlantic cable was sent from Queen Victoria to James Buchanan. Excuse me. The first time the Supreme Court, the only time the Supreme Court met outside of the Capitol, was at the Bedford Springs. So there's an awful lot of history, and we are fortunate to have the Bedford Springs here that we can draw from.
I think that not only are you promoting the history and the depth of this town, but one of the things that amazes me is the cooperation you get from some of these places where in other Pennsylvania towns I've not seen. For example, you have a tremendous Main Street program here, which you call DBI and headed up by Tanya Grimes. We've talked to Tanya on this program. And Tanya, your office, the council, the chamber, everybody seems to get along. I can't tell you how extraordinary this is. It usually isn't the case.
Well, we may not get as well as you think we do, but we do have some discussions.
That you get along.
No,
but
no, we do get along.
Yeah. And because it shows, the results are there. It shows that. And you really have a real depth in trying to do something about it. And when people come, they see it. I remember the very first borough council meeting I attended when I moved here. I think I'd been here for 2 weeks. And one of your council was discussing the notion of putting some parking meters up. And I remember jumping up and screaming, no, no, all the other dopes do that. You put the horses back. The horses are great. And I think someone said, just calm down, Mr. Roach. Sit down. You're too excitable. But that is what makes it great, is that little stuff like that.
Well, there was a survey done by Downtown Bedford Incorporated several years ago. And the survey was asking what makes Bedford, Bedford, and what is it that we need to make it grow. And one of those things was like nightlife. There was a lack of nightlife in Bedford. So, I mean, we're talking about people that might want to move a factory close by, or somebody that will employ a lot of people. You know, what can attract them? So, you know, we went to DBI, we talked about what can we do to get people on the street again, feet on the street. And we have hot summer nights.
Right.
Well, and I'm sure you've been to one of those. There's an awful lot of people down there. Those people are in front of stores and they're buying things. We have such things as fall foliage, which we bring about 30,000 people in a weekend for fall foliage for the 2 weekends that it's open. Bedford is a special place. I mean, it truly offers things that other towns don't offer. And how that's done is, a lot of it is done through DBI and Tanya Grimes.
Well, our new client, Omni Bedford Springs, is participating in this this wonderful chili cook-off that you guys are doing. So this is the kind of thing that people will come from outside of Bedford to do, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I have a good friend. His name is Doc Wilson. Mm-hmm. And if Doc's listening down in Florida, that'd be. But he goes to Florida to Leesburg in the wintertime.
Well, tell him he can hear the show online, which he can.
I will. And I was asking him one day. I said, Doc, I mean, what do they do in Florida? What attracts people to downtown Leesburg? And he was talking about this chili cook-off that they had.
Right.
And so I saw Tanya Grimes, and I said, Tanya, I have an idea for you. And she put it, and it's fabulous. My wife and I went to it last year, and the chili and the soup are fantastic. And this year, it's going to be bigger. It's going to be better. There's more restaurants involved in it. And again, it brings people into downtown Bedford and takes people into shops that maybe they wouldn't normally go into, but they go into
chili. It's kind of like a food treasure hunt. You know, you have to go from one place to another to sample the chili. So you even walk into places that don't even serve chili, and
that's
they
right.
give you chili anyway. So I know in some towns the fire companies get involved, and where they have the hottest chili, you know, and the fire hose chili and that kind of stuff. But it's a great little promotion. I hope you continue it because it's just a great idea.
Well, you know, Tanya and DBI have done that. They've done Riverfest. Again, I was talking right. to Tanya, and I said, we are very lucky here. We have a river running right through the center of our town, but we don't use it. I don't understand why we don't use that. When I was a boy growing up here, there used to be a swinging bridge across that river down by the Fort Museum.
Is that so?
Yeah. Huh. People from the north side and people that worked at the pin mill would walk across that swinging bridge. And, of course, as a kid, we would get on the bridge and try to break it, actually. But anyhow.
Evil little children in Bedford.
The Fort Bedford Park is essentially Bedford's front yard. And we need to do things with our front yard to make Bedford more attractive. You see it from the bypass. You can see the Fort Bedford Museum, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But so Tanya started Riverfest, and it has exploded. I mean, there are thousands of people that go down to Riverfest, and with all the activities and so forth that they have planned. Again, feet on the street, bringing people to Bedford.
We have just a few minutes left, so before we leave, I want to make sure we do mention the Fort Bedford situation. Tell us about that.
The Bedford Borough always supported the Fort Bedford Museum because, in all reality, it's our heritage here.
Mm-hmm.
It's a blueprint of our heritage. So the artifacts in that museum are important to us. So we've always supported it, and it always cost us between $25,000 and $40,000 a year to maintain the building, to pay people to operate it, etc. And I was talking to Steve George, and I said, I need to get this off our financial plate if we can. And he came up with an idea of something called the Heritage Trust. And what it is an umbrella that some of our historical assets can fit underneath. That umbrella consists of a board of directors whose primary job is to raise money.
Right.
So the Heritage Trust has taken over the Fort Bedford Museum, and they're in the process right now of raising money. And I want to put a plug in for a fundraiser called Rebels and Rye. It'll be held out at the Bedford Springs. I was at it last year. It was phenomenal. But anyhow, the idea is to allow these historical assets to function without using taxpayer dollars to do it.
Well, I wish you well. Rebels Rye was fantastic. I went to it as well. It was really a raucous mob scene. It was just a lot of fun. I think you'll enjoy it very much. We're out of time, but I really enjoyed talking to you immensely.
I enjoyed it too.
Bedford County Speaks was presented this morning by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru right on Route 220 in Bedford, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. I look forward to joining you next time right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD. Until then, enjoy your weekend. This is Lloyd Roach.
You have been listening to Bedford County Speaks. Listen each Saturday beginning at 8:30 to hear about the work, lives, and the lifestyles in Bedford County. Bedford County Speaks is a presentation of the News and Public Affairs Department of News Talk 1310 WBFD. Thanks for listening.